Hi, welcome to the Dan Bradbury podcast, where turnover is vanity, profit is sanity, and cash is king. In this podcast, I'll bring you resources, tips, interviews, and lots more to help to grow your business and make it less dependent on you. Hey guys, welcome. Dan Bradbury here, and I'm super excited in this episode of the podcast to be talking to Lisa from The Business Catalyst. The queen of automation is in the house. Lisa is just going into her fourth decade as a business owner. She's an entrepreneur with a whole host of tremendously successful blue chip companies. She was in the software industry before the invention of the internet. In fact, she and her business were the first people to put a paid advertisement into a computer game. She is a great combination, kind of part marketer, part geek, which means she's the perfect person to have here today. She also won the illustrious Mastermind Member of the Quarter Award last quarter, and she's doing some really exciting things, and we've got a workshop coming up with Lisa coming up next month on the 6th of May. So with all that said, Lisa, hello. Lisa, many people who are listening to this already know of you, but just in case any haven't, give us a bit of background, give us context. Who are you? Why should they pay attention?
Who am I? I am a serial entrepreneur. My first business at 19. It's actually the youngest alcohol licensee in the country at 19, where I had a 6 a.m. license. I bought London's only roller skating rink, got an entertainment license for 3,000 people and held raves on Friday and Saturday nights until 6 a.m. from 1990 to 94. Also ran it as a roller rink during the week and during the days on weekends. So that's where I first birthed myself as an entrepreneur and swiftly got the bug. So from 94 all the way through, I've run animation art gallery. I had a software company that were the first people, as you mentioned, to put an advertiser in a computer game, which led on to making promotional software Impact and Onpack, the large FMCG and blue chip brands like Adidas, Quaker, Nestle, Kellogg's, Coca-Cola, and then led on to making Xbox and PlayStation games for publishers out in the States. So I was kind of semi-retired in my mid-30s to living in the south of France in my villa. So that's a kind of potted history, yeah.
Yeah, so you've, again, classic entrepreneur in a whole host of different industries. And obviously, now part of our mastermind program for the last couple of years, you absolutely blew the competition out of the water, because every quarter, for those who don't know, we run a competition to who will be the best performing mastermind member of the quarter. And in the last 90 days, you did more in sales and in profit, if memory serves me correctly, than in the previous 12 months combined, which is quite a feat because you weren't doing badly to begin with. And I know the question that comes up again and again, or the two phrases most commonly associated with you in our private Facebook group, is lifecycle marketing and the customer journey, or the perfect customer journey. Can you speak to, as a start for 10, what does this label mean? What does lifecycle marketing mean? What is the customer journey? Because I think it's probably a good jumping off point for some of the conversation here about how the listeners can optimize their business.
Lifecycle marketing is a proven strategy that businesses can use to create the ideal customer journey through their business. So it starts by identifying who is your ideal customer, and you might have more than one because you might have more than one product or service, and you might appeal to more than one group of people, but you need to create a journey for each of those. Then it's a question of who are they? How are you attracting their interest? What are you doing to capture their details? What are you then doing to educate them on the like, know, and trust and indoctrinate them into who you are, engage with them, offer them value, start to build up the offer that you want for your products and services. You bring them into your sales pipeline. Then out the other side and making sure that you upsell, increase the cash value and get referrals and testimonials so you can multiply your original efforts to push people back into the top of the funnel. So that, in essence, is an overview of lifecycle marketing and a kind of brief what the customer journey and experience would be with you.
So, I mean, you kind of said, but I just want to really make it succinct. I mean, this is powerful stuff. Why is it essential, critical, paramount? Why is there so much leverage that the business owners, the entrepreneurs listening to this, for them to identify and then build out their ideal customer journey?
Well, first of all, ideal customer journey equals customer experience. And what many, many businesses do is they're busy filling the top of their funnel. They're busy acquiring new customers all the time and trying to get people in and close them. But what they're not doing is closing the gaps in the customer journey and in the life cycle. So their people are just literally falling through the gaps. It's like trying to run a bath and not put the plug in. So you might be driving traffic to a website using SEO, but not having a capture form there. So people are coming and having a look, they're bouncing away. That would be the first place you'd look at people falling out. And so it goes on through the journey of people doing survival marketing, of just pushing traffic at the business and trying to acquire customers, but not holding them there, not educating them on what it is that you do and the value that you offer, not engaging with people to see when they're ready to actually purchase from you, because they're ready to buy when they're ready to buy, not when you're ready to sell. And you have different levels of that. So planning out the actual customer life cycle means that instead of just trying to shove people in the top and hope that they percolate through and convert into clients, is you have actually much more predictable income as a result of designing the journey around it, so that they have the expectation of where they're meant to go next, and you can have a much more predictable flow of business through the business.
I mean, it's fascinating, isn't it? I know that always surprised me that so many business owners, that they're always just focused on the next thing. You know, it's like the sporadic, I think Dan Kennedy calls it the sporadic one-time income event. And they fail to connect the dots into the kind of this system. I know a fabulous testimonial that's given to you is Clayton Mask, who's the CEO, one of the co-founders and CEO of Keep, which created software such as Infusionsoft, etc. So this is a $100 million plus company built from scratch, and the leading, in my opinion, kind of marketing automation software company, describes you as the queen of automation. And yet so many business owners just don't connect the dots. They just focus on the next campaign. So could you give us, it demonstrated so perfectly in your business in the last quarter with unbelievable results by this optimization. Where do we start? So let's say, I'm sure there's some people listening to us that are into more advanced stuff and they've heard this before, but there's some people that, like, this is day dot for them. What's the start of a town? Give us some kind of principles or cornerstones with which to start thinking about how to do this.
What I would do with business automation is I have a look at where people are looking to save time, and that might just be in the fulfillment as well. You might not have automatic fulfillment, and you might be wasting a lot of the time where you could be spending more time, better time on your $1,000 task versus your £10 task. So we do a lot with automation of onboarding people, but it's about where you're leaving money on the table. Where is it that you know, so many people have got so much value in the list that they have already built, that they've stopped communicating with that person because they came in under interest A over here, and you haven't told them about the new thing you've got going on as well. You're just busy pumping new people into the funnel, and you're not using the value of the people that already know you, like you, and trust you, either getting them to refer you on or telling them about all the new stuff that you've got going as well. You've just disengaged with them. They've just gone cold. And all that work you put in has just literally gone by the wayside. But as far as automation is concerned, what we do is we first map out the customer journeys. We sit down with you and we start with, okay, where do people come in? How are you attracting them? And we walk through what you're already doing. We then have a look at where the gaps are. What is it that you're not doing that you could be doing? And then once we finish building out that map, we have a look at your ROI. Can we win you back time? Because I say, incremental is exponential. If you can save an hour a day, which we did for another mastermind member, we saved them an hour a day, 5 hours a week, 20 hours a month, is 30 full working days a year. What could you or your team or your staff do with 30 full working days back every year in productivity, and having the automation doing the grunt work and the heavy lifting in order that you can get on with selling more strategies, more playing more golf, spending more time with your family, or, you know, working on your business instead of in your business, as Gerber would say.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's the three primary benefits as I see it: more time, more revenue, more profit. And, you know, time for me is the one that's most often understressed, in the sense of the business owner busy, active, and all of a sudden, I mean, you said it before, but just to underline it, they're spending so much time caught up on a name task rather than doing the high value activity, which is often strategic partnerships or sales. So a higher level strategy, leveraged items and sales. And therefore, by taking the lower stuff off the plate because it's dealt with through automation, that's number one that I feel is underemphasized. But number two, more revenue. I mean, for me, I'm sorry, Lisa, I'm going to have to go here. When I won the Ultimate Marketing Competition of Keep, that was then called Infusionsoft, the company, back in 2009, it was really down to segmentation. I won that prize because I used marketing automation to segment the leads. So we didn't treat all leads the same. And just to put a number to that, Lisa put good words to it, but put a number to that, when I simply asked the prospects why they were interested in buying XYZ product and utilize that to give them a custom landing page that spoke to the reason why they were looking for that particular type of product, it increased conversion rates by 300%.
300%. Because you're speaking to the right person with the right message at the right time. And that is the whole point of bringing automation in, is capturing that information, reusing that information, segmenting people, populating custom fields, making your marketing relevant. Marketing is a conversation. Moreover, marketing is a one-on-one conversation, not a one-to-many conversation. So the more intelligence that you can gather on the people that are coming into your funnel, into your system, the more information and intelligence you can gather, the more personal and relevant you can make that conversation. And the more relevant you make it, the more you're going to engage with people and the more you're going to convert. It's proven. It works. You got a 300% return. I got Masterminder of the Quarter. I also got awarded Keep's Top International Service Partner of the Year as well. Because when you use proven strategies, this isn't even something I invented. This is actually something that Scott Martineau, who's one of the other co-founders of Keep, formerly known as Infusionsoft, he brought to life, supported by Dan Kennedy. So this is the master marketeers of the, there's Scott.
There's Ryan Dyke.
You are the ultimate marketeer.
Yeah, 100%.
Along with Sean Greeley, who hopefully will listen to this because he knows I'm recording it. I spoke to him earlier. So as far as proven strategies, lifecycle marketing is not something that is new. It is a proven strategy that works with the likes of Dan Kennedy, with the likes of, you know, Keep themselves using it. And if you look at any sensible business that is actually smashing it on the marketing and crushing it, is they have these proven strategies in place. You know yourself. You go and look online for something, you're then being retargeted for that. If you opt into somebody's newsletter or lead magnet online, they are following up with you, the people that know what they're doing, if you're looking at the Grant Cardones or whatever. This is the same strategies that the Frank Kerns and Grant Cardones and whoever else, Ryan Dyce as well. This is their strategies, and it's accessible to everyone, and it is not difficult to follow. So one of the things that we look at is that we break, lifecycle marketing is broken down into three top phases, which is where you are capturing leads, where you are converting into clients, and where you are creating fans. So we call them the three C's. They used to be known as attract, sell, and wow. And we have worksheets where we're looking at where you're strongest in your business. You might be strong at the top of your funnel of where you're pushing leads in. You might be amazing at creating referral partners at the bottom of your funnel. You might be brilliant at converting those clients in your sales cycle, and looking at where your weaknesses are, where to bring focus, where the gaps are, and the opportunities that you can build out. That's where it comes from, getting that bird's eye view on your life.
I mean, that's what blows my mind, that people miss, not in the last two books, three books ago, so plug the books here, Not Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity, Not Breeding is Sales. The one before that was called 32X, which is about how I 32X'd a business of mine from 100 to 3.2 million in 19 months, I think it was. But fundamentally, it was that compounded growth came from optimizing each of the phases. And I know I'm preaching to the we're mutually preaching to the converted here. You're only as strong as your weakest link, and everyone tends to double down. So people that are really good at lead gen think it's all about getting more traffic, and then they leave all the other stages relatively untapped. and the people that are really good, like I historically was always really bad at lead gen, but really good deeper in the funnel at maximizing traffic value, but would ignore that top of, and you need to get the complete picture. You need to get the complete picture, and that's how you get the compound effect by the little improvements, but you've got to have that strategic overview. And that's why most business owners miss it, right? And that's, and obviously that's your superpower. So you spoke about the three phases. So let's give the guys listening to this, before we tell them about the upcoming workshop, which is for Mastermind members, but we are allowing a handful of non-Mastermind members to attend, and we'll tell them where they can find out more information about that. But let's give the guys listening something useful. Give us an exercise, Lisa, and I didn't prompt you of this, so I'll give you a moment to think about it. Give them an exercise. So if they want to map it out on paper, because I think sometimes people want the magic bit of software and they go, oh, is it this bit of software or this bit of software? And my personal opinion is I'm less bothered about that. It's a bit like accounting software. I'm less bothered about whether you're on Sage or QuickBooks or Xero, more that you're clear about the process that drives that engine. Yeah, we can argue about the features of different bits of software, but in the big scheme of things, you just need to have the map. So could you give the guys a bit of homework, Lisa? If they wanted to try and finally put something to this, what could they do?
You can get a bit of paper. And I do this for companies even where we're not using Keep, and we're not maybe implementing a marketing or sales cycle, but we are literally looking at the process of your business. So if you imagine walking through your business as a customer, when we do this, we do the overview, but then we break it down into what is the customer's journey through this? What is the operational journey through this? What reporting do we need at each stage? And what is the tech stack that we need? So that would be a full customer journey experience that we'd look at from kind of every angle we can. So imagine that you are a customer. Where have you been found? Have you been found on Facebook? Have you been found on Instagram, LinkedIn? Is it from word of mouth? Is it networking? And what's the next step? How am I going to attract your attention? Or what are you doing to attract? So literally, what is a, if you were to walk through your business as a customer from where you have been found to what sparks your interest? What are the touch points of engagement before the sales process? What was the sales process? What goes into the post sales, into the fulfillment, and making sure they have a really great experience there? And are you asking for referrals and reviews afterwards? And are you able to upsell and give them any added value as well? So what is, if I was literally your ideal customer walking through the business from left to right on a piece of paper, what are those touch points and what is happening? And one thing that a lot of people fail to do is they go, I'm pushing someone to do this. I have an email sequence and I want them to click on a link. But what we fail to do is go, but what if they don't? When we just lost them, right? Because we're pushing them to do it. They don't do it. We've now forgotten about them. So the what if they do and the what if they don't is a very powerful thing to make sure that you scoop up the lost leads there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wary that, you know, you love this, I love this. It's made us both many, many millions of pounds in additional sales from following these processes. We're fanatical. But I also know there's some people listening and going, I get the idea. And so I really want to doubly emphasize the time leverage of this. You set up the system the right way. Yeah, of course, you can tweak it. But fundamentally, that's the leverage. It's the highest and best, it could be very well, the highest and best use of your time. So for people that just want to get it done, they want to get it out of the way, they want to really break the back of this thing, you know, I'm going to go straight into, I'm really delighted because you are helping so many of our members and they're getting such great results. I mean, so many of our Mastermind members are now utilizing your services and the Business Catalyst services to help them with this process. I asked you to do a day, a training day, a skills day for us, and I'm delighted that you said yes. So it's on the 6th of May. Obviously, it's included in the Mastermind members fee, but we are allowing a handful, five people that are non-Mastermind members to pay to attend. And they can get all the information about that at danbradbury.com/marketing. danbradbury.com/marketing. But for those that might be interested in that, Lisa, what are we going to cover on the day? What can they expect from you and I on that day? What are we going to talk about? And why should they attend?
I love the fact that we're co-delivering that, by the way. So we're going to be looking at an overview of lifecycle marketing. So we've given a very brief overview today, but we'll be diving deeper into each of the nine stages of the three phases of the strategy that is lifecycle marketing. We will be building out your customer map, looking at what you're already doing and looking at where the gaps are and what opportunities there are to pick up lost leads that are just sitting on the table waiting to be closed. And then we will dive into each of the three phases. We've got worksheets to go through so you can really identify what strategies work for you, right? Because you've got different types of companies. You've got bricks and mortar, you've got e-com, you've got info businesses, you've got consultants, you've got different types of businesses, and it is not a one size fits all for every type of business. So we'll be looking at what the strategies are, where you're strongest, where you're weakest, in which phases, and what the strategies are so that you can really bring a plan to life, and then how you can do a set it and forget it. So it's on a rinse and repeat, and you're not constantly having to chase your tail and be in a hamster wheel.
Yeah, I love that. To add to that, or perhaps just word it in a different way, is say, look, guys, you need to have the plan. This isn't about getting in. We're not, you know, we're not getting into the software and doing the nitty gritty. You're unable to do that. Or perhaps if you've tried and failed, you're not able to do that effectively unless you first got the plan. And if the first time you do any plan, whether it be a budget, whether it be a marketing plan, it's always horrible if you've not done it before. And that's when it's most helpful for you to get the experience of people that have done this a lot of times. And I just realized when you made your little jab at me earlier saying, by the way, for those listening, he's saying, oh, I'm loving that the way co-presenting that was the fact that you were saying, you're going to ride my coattails, aren't you, Bradbury? That was what that was. missed it.
So, the fact is, but you can't have a journey without a map. You don't go on a road trip without a map to your and know what your destination is and know what, you know, pit stops you need to make on the way, what assets you need, what resources you need, what is the to-do list to make that plan happen.
They're going to get it all. That's what they're going to be getting and more. I was just saying we've been friends for a long time, but we've never co-presented before. So this will going to be some absolute magic happening on the 6th of May. And if you want to find out more information or you want to apply, go on over to danbradbury.com/marketing to find out about the workshop on the ideal customer journey and more on the 6th of May this year. 5 places for non-mastermind members. Go over to danbradbury.com/marketing. So, Lisa, with that said, any final words of wisdom that you wish to leave the podcast listeners with before we say goodnight?
If you don't have a plan, you can't expect, or you don't have a plan for your journey or a roadmap, you cannot expect your customers to hit their destination.
I'm going to quote Buffett. So for those that are just listening on the podcast and can't see the video of this, I'm holding up my laptop now to a picture of Warren Buffett behind my head with a quote that says, an idiot with a plan can beat a genius without a plan. Well said. I think you said it better, Lisa.
I think I said better than Warren Buffett, definitely.
Well, thank you, guys. Get on over to danbradbury.com/marketing and we look forward to seeing you there. Bye for now. I hope you enjoyed that episode. 3 things you need to do now. Number 1, make sure you subscribe to this podcast so you do not miss an episode. Also, get on over to Amazon to get a copy of my latest book, Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity, 9.5 Steps to Improving Your Profits and Cash Flow. Also, join our Facebook group, the Turnover is Vanity, Profit is Sanity community, to connect with other business owners.